also with the E and effort, that what that is actually takes effort to rest. Believe it or not, it actually takes effort to rest. Then on last week, which was Father's Day, and thank you all to all the Father's Day gifts. I trust and believe that all the men of the Safe House Church has received their Father's Day gift in the mail by now. Amen. And I hope that you get to enjoy that. And my only one thing and mandate is that you spend what you have on yourself. Amen. I know we as men that we're self-sacrificing because that's what God has called us to do. But you have permission from Pastor. Amen. To spend this one on yourself. Get something for yourself, whatever it is that your heart desires. Amen. And we're just grateful for that. And then we dealt with the still. So we talking about still, being still, staying still, sitting in that what still time period when God has us moving and things are moving that way. He still is God. And when he says he's going to do a thing, that he's going to do a thing. And as we go forward today, we're going to end the rest series with the letter T, the T standing for trust. So reflecting effort and still trusting, that this is what rest stands for. That is reflecting effort and still trusting. Now, I'm reflecting on what I've been able to do, but you know what? I am limited in what I can do. That things that I do, I have limitations. Amen. Because I'm in a limited body, and this body has limitations. And since this body has limitations, then that means there are some limitations to the things that I am able to do. I want to give a big shout out to my baby boy. Today is his birthday. He's the big old four today. Amen. And God's just tremendously blessing him, and I'm grateful. It was never on my radar. I never thought I would have a son, but I'm grateful to have the one we have, Mr. Preston. Amen. Name stands for son of a priest. Amen. But I'm just so grateful to God for what he has done for us. You know, God will give you the desires of your heart. And sometimes that when you don't even know it. Amen. You don't know. Sometimes we don't know what we desire. And that's why he says that way. If we trust him, that he will give us the desires of our heart. So we're just so grateful to God for our son, our only son. Amen. As we go forward on today, I want to say again, special shout out to all the members of the Safe House Church, amen, as we prepare to go back into the building, amen, not on this week, amen. I know it's holiday week coming up, so I want to give you that, but on the next week, we prepare to go in there unless something changes. So I'm checking with our people, and hopefully we're getting there. We have our social distancing and all the things we need to go. Pastor now has a little time. Y'all know my, you know, these contracts that we work on at the school, they end, well, at least my contract, you know, I get a continual contract, but it ends at the end of this month. So I'll be officially off work for a couple of days, at least a couple of days, but hopefully about a month or so, unless something changes. And that'll give me some time to go do some running and things that we need to do for the church. Amen. So I'm just so grateful to you all who have hung in there with us through the pandemic. And I look forward to seeing your faces there in the Safe House Church. How many of you know there is a word from the Lord on today? There is a word from the Lord, and I'm going to do my best to give you that word that which he's given me. I know last week I rushed a little bit, amen, but I knew we had some things we had to do, which ended up not working out anyway. But, you know, God is able, and, you know, he made it all good, amen. Also want to remind you, ladies, if you desire to find a place that you can go ahead and talk to a group of women from all around the world, amen. I mean, they're not just from North Carolina, they're from Texas and other places, that you can come and visit the safehousechurch.com/women. Click on there to register. And what this is going to do is going to send you a private link. This is a private space where the ladies go here and they go to congregate and talk, you know, things of the Bible, sometimes women stuff, and just encouraging one another. Sometimes you need a place to vent. And I know some of you, you know, maybe you don't have a church home, or maybe you don't have a place that you feel safe and secure. But I'm here to tell you that what happens at the well stays at the well. I don't know anything that goes on in there. All I get is, you know, sometimes we just get the bill. Amen. You know, that, you know, they doing things, and God is blessing them in that space. And I'm just so grateful to Sister Pam, that God sent Sister Pam Hicks to us. Amen. You know, the Bible said, you know, we praying for laborers. He said that the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We pray for some laborers, and God sent Sister Hicks to us, and she's doing a tremendous job in that work. You know, and so he sent us, you know, I'm one of those ones, for one, that if he sends me an able body, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that they have everything they need to go forward. Amen. That's called ministry. You can't ask people to do things and you don't give them the tools they need to go forward. Amen. Also, yes, that is 6 p.m. in Central Standard Time. We got some on the Central Time Zone and those on the West Coast. Amen. But as I was saying, you know, God has given, you know, us people, and then we did our best to make sure that they have the tools that they need to do the things that God has called them to do. Amen. You can't send a gardener to the garden without any tools. Oh, come on, somebody. You cannot send a gardener. Well, you can send them, but they are not going to be very effective. So we try to use the best of what we have. Amen. And we believe in working with the best and giving them the best to do the work of the Lord. Amen. All right. So if our hearts and minds are clear, I think I've covered all my bases on today. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit, just a little bit today from the our series. We've been talking about rest. So we've been on a rest series, and this has been a 4-part series. The first part we talked about reflecting. So we talk about rest as what? Reflection. Rest is a reflection. Amen. So we reflect, and then what? Then we talked about effort. You know, we talk about the effort that's involved in resting. Resting, and I'm talking about physical resting. Amen. I'm talking about laying down. I'm talking about I'm pulling away from some things. But we also talking about from the spiritual sense, the spiritual point of view. Do we ever rest in the spirit? Yes. And it's called reflecting on that effort. And what? Still trusting God. So last week we talked about trusting, and we talked about the different things, and talked about still and the still process and standing still, and know that even when you're standing still, that you're actually still doing some things. That as you stand still, that you're still going forward. It doesn't mean that you just don't do anything, but what we're waiting, and as we wait, wait is a active verb. Wait means that what? That you're actively doing something, and because you are waiting, then you are what? Given in service. Amen. And so you're actively waiting, and then you are given in service. And then after that, now we move to what we want to talk about on today. We want to talk about trusting. How many of you know that trust is a big thing? You know, I met people who deal with trust 2 different types of way. I hear some people say you have to earn my trust, meaning that they're looking for you to go forth and do things and build up equity with them. And then at some point, I guess you reach a threshold that say, okay, now you are trustworthy to me. So now then I will give you the opportunity to do this or to say this or to believe what it is that you say. Then you have the other school of thought when it comes to trust. Then some say, okay, I trust you from the beginning until you do something to violate that trust. Are y'all with me? So we have the 2 different schools. So it's, think about it in terms of school. And most of us, I mean, where we're required to go to school in this country. So when you think about it this way, if you walk into the class, you have to earn your 100. So every time you get scores and this kind of thing, you earning your grade. Amen. Then there's some teachers who come from the school of thought that say, okay, you start out with an A, and it's your job to keep an A. Oh, come on, somebody. So that's what, there's no right or wrong way to look at it. But what it says at the end of the day, that I get to a point that I, by trusting, what I'm doing is I'm giving over to you. By trusting, I'm giving over to a thing. By trusting, I'm saying that I'm no longer going to put my hand in it. But I'm going to remove myself from the situation and believe that it's going to take care of itself. That I'm going to remove myself from the situation and that it's going to go the way that I desire, or not even the way that I desire it, but I believe that it's going to go in the way that I need it to go. So with that, on this morning, I have several scriptures I want you to read. So you pull your Bibles out. We're going to go to that first book of the Bible called Genesis. Genesis meaning the beginning. And I believe that God has given me a couple of things here to share with you on this morning that you can take with you to chew the whole week. Amen. I'm a teacher. Sometimes I preach, sometimes I teach, and sometimes I'm right there in the middle. Amen. And I know everybody is not accustomed to this style of preaching or this style of word, but those who are, so be it. And you know that, you know, it's just like getting a brand of soda. You know that all the sodas, you know, to be honest, all of them are bad for you, but there's different brands of soda, and soda is soda. You know, this one tastes this way and this one tastes this way. So people have ones that they like and they have ones that they gravitate to. And then some have some that they pull away from. They don't like the taste so much. But it's not my job to please you with the taste, but it's my job to provide the taste, to provide that the substance, which is the Lord God, Lord Jesus Christ, him crucified, him dying on the cross for our sins. It's my job to provide you with the undiluted word of God that is unfiltered, that, you know, if it doesn't fit your feet, if it doesn't taste right, then that means what? There's some things that you have to do, some adjusting that you ask God to do in your life. Amen. So for those who, this is their first time coming to the Safe House Church or visiting us, we work off simple, we're a pretty simple church. We work off three principles here we believe God has called us to be. Amen. We call it DEA, that's discipleship. We're going to teach you and we're going to work with you in this space. Empowerment, that we're going to put you in places that what you can use the gifts and talents that God has given you. Amen. You know, when you come to us and you talk with us and we spend time with you and find out what it is that God has given you. And then lastly, we work with what accountability. We have to be what accountable in the space. We have to be accountable to God's people. I am my brother's keeper. Yes, I am. I'm accountable in this space. We all have to be accountable in this space that we what iron sharpens iron. So if you if that category falls in something that you like, we will be more than glad to have you and come to join and worship here with us. Yes, we're physically located here in Greensboro, but we also have official online members who join us from all around the world, amen, and can participate just as much as you can if you're here in the physical space in Greensboro. So the Church of the Doors are always open, and we always welcome you to come and be a part of the Safe House Church. Amen. We are so grateful for that. God is good, and he's worthy to be praised. Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. So if you turn to the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, I got right much reading I need to do here today, but I want to make sure that I lay the foundation for what it is that I believe God has given me to share with you on today. I want you to see how these things connect together. You know, me being a teacher by trade, me being a teacher from background, then, you know, I understand that there is a way that you teach. There's a pedagogy or a pedagogical move that you want to make at certain times. So therefore, I want to make sure that I lay this thing out that you can be able to connect on each and every piece as we go forward. Amen. And be able to see how all these things come together. And then you can take that and run with that. I want you to be able to follow the arguments that I make. I want you to be able to read this when I'm not with you. Amen. My job is what to inspire you to continually pick up your Bible and read it for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take what Peter says. Amen. But ask the Spirit to give you that. I tell them all the time, we work off this framework when we actually do our teaching. As simple as this, we got content, context, and revelation. Content, the content is what? The word of the Bible. Context, I provide the context. I give you time. I give you place. I give you feel. I give you the color commentator to the Bible. And then what? The revelation comes from the Spirit of God. All I'm doing is giving you the revelation that God has given me. And this revelation leads to other revelations. So this is why it's important, brothers and sisters, that you be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. For it's the Spirit that interprets what it is that you need for you. See, you and I can eat the same piece of fish. And what it does for your body, it may not do for my body. But what it should be nourishment to our bodies nonetheless. Are y'all with me? What I'm saying is that what? Maybe I needed that nourishment in my shoulder and you needed that nourishment in your foot. So yes, it came in the same, but what is being used differently by our bodies because our bodies interpret what it is that we need, and I mean, how we process that which we've eaten and where that energy needs to go. It's as much as the same way with the word of God that the Holy Ghost processes for your spiritual body where this needs to go. So what, all food can be good for the body, but all things are what? We're not to partake in all things. Amen. The Bible even tells us about that. All these things are good to eat, but then there's some things that we should abstain from. So Genesis 18 chapter, and we're going to start at 18, and I want to run down to verses. I'm going to put the verses on the screen for you here. Give me 1 second here. I got them here somewhere. There we go. We want to go to Genesis 18 and 9. I want to go to Genesis, the 18th chapter, the 9th verse. Amen. Genesis 18 and 9. And then we're going to go to also put, you're going to put a finger in there, and you're going to flip over two chapters. Well, actually three chapters, and you're going to go to Genesis, the 21st chapter, and we're going to go verse 1 through 7. And then you're going to flip over one more chapter, and we're going to go Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and I believe we're going to go verses 1 through 16. I will share that here on the screen with you on this morning. All right. So hopefully things are working the way I need them to work today. You all know how I am with my technology. Technology is great, but sometimes, you know, it didn't work exactly the way we wanted to work. Amen. And I think we're good today. All right. So, Genesis, we're talking about the birth of Isaac promise. All right. So I want to go through, I said Genesis 1 through what I tell you all, I said down here, I had it where I know where to stop. No, it was seven. I want to go down to seven, seven, seven. Was it seven? Oh, let me go back to my other screen. I lost my thing. I had Genesis. So this is the nice thing. When you're working with technology, losing your way. I had, oh, nine. Okay, nine and 15. All right, and the rest of them is one. Nine. Let's go down to nine here. Genesis 9. And it says this. And they say unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and were stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after all I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? At the time of appointment, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Sarah shall have a son. All right, will you turn over to the 21st with me? Genesis 21, and it says this. And the Lord visited Sarah, and as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah had conceived, who's laughing now, and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God, notice this set time, underline that, mark that, write it down, the set time of which God has spoken to him. Now God has spoken what? A set time unto Abraham. Mm-hmm. And Abraham called the son of name of his son that which was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. Right? Notice he circumcises him on the eighth day, according to what Jewish tradition there in the Mosaic, I think it was Mosaic law, that he circumcised him on the eighth day. Eight being what? New beginnings. Think about it. We start at one. And we go through seven. Then if you keep going, then what? Seven would be eight after that. So that'd be a reversal. It starts over. So eight being new beginnings. So here, the cutting away of this, that part of him is done. Now there's a new beginning. Mm-hmm. And watch this. And he says this. And Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh, so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. Last one I want to turn over. We want to go over to Genesis, the 22nd chapter. And I want to start here, I think it was... I don't think I'm going to read all of this because it's kind of long. Hold on, give me 1 second. You know, I lost my paper up here, so I just need to see what I put up here. Okay. Oh, 1 through 16. I guess I did. All right, 1 through 16. Let's get through this. There's some pieces here I need to make sure that you get or that you see. Please write these things down so you can read them in your own devotional time. All right, and he says this. Genesis 1. 22nd chapter and verse 1, it says this. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thou son, thou only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and give into thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Mm-hmm. And Abraham arose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went into the place of God had told him. Then on the third day, say the third day, write that down. The third day, Abraham had lifted upon his eyes and saw the place from afar. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. Underline, come again unto you. All right. And then he goes on and he says this. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon the altar, upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spoke unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Mm-hmm. Where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. Underline, mark that. God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of them. And Abraham built an altar there. And he laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now notice here, underline what? Isaac his son, he's laid him on the altar. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called up unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Notice here, underline again, here am I. And he says, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seest thou hast not withheld thy son, thou only son, from me. And Abraham lifted upon his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. As he said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh meaning what? Provider. And what? And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham in the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seeds as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Let me read that last part one more time. And thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. If I would use for a subject today, and I hope that you stay with me here a little bit and a little while, for our subject today is rescue to rest by trust. Rescue to rest by trust. Rescue to rest by trust. Why don't you type in the chat? Somebody put in there, rescue to rest by trust. Let somebody else know that here you are at the Safe House Church. Amen. And I'm about to go in on this morning what I believe God has given us. Rescue to rest by trust. So for this whole month, please go ahead and hit the share button. Share this with somebody. Let them know that we are on. Thank for those who own the podcast who are live from all around the world. Amen. So here we're talking about rescue to rest by trust. You know, I was looking, and as I was reading this today, and I was thinking, and I was reading, you know, and God was dealing with me on this week as we was talking about our trust. And, you know, there's many stories in the Bible that talks about trust. But it's something in particular about this particular story of trust that is also yet troubling, yet also reaffirming. That we find that we have a number of foreshadows that are starting to come here, that we know that you keep seeing throughout here. He keeps talking about Abraham, talks about Isaac being his only son, that he being his only begotten son. And we know that what we have, an only begotten son who was Jesus Christ, the only begotten son of God who came and died for the sins of the world. Then we see the parallels and the interesting foreshadowing of how he's laid upon this altar and he was about to sacrifice his son because God told him to do so. And then he stayed his hand because it was more of a test than anything. But we find out later on that when Jesus comes, that it's not a test. It's not a dry run, but this is actually something that does happen and allows you and I to have the right to the tree of life. It allows you and I to have an opportunity to serve him in this capacity. It allows us to be able to know that that our Redeemer lives and that we are met by what? This redemption. Amen. Then we find that here, that now when he tells Abraham at the end of all these different things that's going on, he tells Abraham, you don't have to worry about going this way again. You don't have to worry about going through this trial again. That what I know now that you trust me. See, when we stay in rest, all God wants to know from you and I is, do you really trust me? Because if you trust me, what you'll find is that you will find inside of me a place of rest. You will find a place that you can put down your things. You can put down those things that you've been struggling with. You can put down those, you can undress in front of me because I've already seen what you have. I already know what you have. I already know what you've been through. Why? Because some of it I ordained and the rest of it that you chose to get yourself into, I provided a way of escape. Oh, come on, somebody. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we have to remind ourselves that some of the things that we go through, some of the tests and trials that we find ourselves in is that sometimes it's things that we have done. It's steps, missteps that we have made. But what God says this in the Bible says that what all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. So even when I misstep, it's not a misstep. Even when I step to the side, it's not a step to the side, but it all comes back together for the good of them that love the Lord. So here we find that what we start out here with Abraham. Abraham is being what a promise is brought to him. See, Abraham was sitting somewhere. He was minding his own business. Abraham was doing his own thing. Abraham was just chilling in the earth. How many of you know that sometimes you've just been chilling? Sometimes you've been chilling. You've been doing you. Oh, come on. As we said, let me do me. You were doing me and you were doing your thing. And God was, blessing. You weren't into sin. You weren't doing crazy stuff, but you were just doing you. You know, you was going your places, you were going on your trips and you know, you were making your money, you were buying your nice clothes and you had your nice car and you had a good home and God was good to you. Life has been good for you. Uh-huh. Come on, somebody. Everybody ain't down in the dumps. That we believers, amen. That we the head and not the tail. We above and not beneath. We above winners and conquerors through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Uh-huh. So life has been pretty good for you. And then all of a sudden, here comes God. Say, look, I got something else for you. Now, is it life? Is it perfect? No, because nobody's life is perfect. But you get to this point in time, say, "Okay, God, I'm good. Really, I'm good. You know, I got my house, I got my car, I got a decent job, my body's fairly healthy. I'm good." But here comes God, and say, "You know what? You don't have any children, and it's important for you to have children. So, I'm gonna bless you and your wife with a son. For some of you, that's." You know what, God, I've been chilling, though. I've been single this long. For some of you, that's God, it's time for you to have a husband. But God, look, I'm about 47, 48 now, God. I'm 50. Lord, I done been through that one time. Why you want to do that? Why you want to go and do that? But see, remember, I do not belong to myself. You do not belong to yourself. We've been bought with a price. So when God, you know what I'm saying, he changes things in you. And see, Abraham, he didn't have sin on his radar at that point. Why? Because if you read the story in its entirety, he already had a son. His name was Ishmael. And where did Ishmael come from? Ishmael came from what? His desire to have a son. And since he had a desire to have a son, not in God's time, what did he do? He went and he made him a son with his maid. Because God had told him and his wife, that they were going to have a son. And since it didn't work out the way that they thought it was going to work out, then his wife tells him to go ahead and sleep with the maid. His handmaiden, and the handmaiden births him a son, and his name is Ishmael. How many of you know that what you can force a thing? Oh, come on, somebody. I'm talking to somebody today, and I'm stepping on some toes this morning. You can force a thing, and you can make a thing happen, but just because you forced it, just because you made it happen, don't mean that it's right. See, Let me bring it down to you. See, there's some people, you know what I'm saying, that's in your atmosphere that's forcing the thing. You already know that that thing does not belong. You can see it. You can see it as wrong as two left shoes. You can see it as trying to take a round peg, trying to stick it in the square hole and make it look good. You can see that it does not belong. But what, since they have made up this thing, they decided how they want to do it. They want to do it the way that they want to do it. So you and I, what, we have to trust God in rest and fall back. So here we find that Abraham and Sarah start to do things their own way, and they make a son, but that's not the son that God wants them to have. So then we find out, well, even in this, what, Sarah laughs. We find out that sometimes even the closest people to you don't understand this trust thing. All they see is, you know, they see you suffering. They see that you're going through some things. They see that things have not been the way that you want them to go. They see that, you know, you got this, you got that, but I don't wish that on my worst enemy. And when you go in and you try to share your dream with somebody else, when you go in and you try to share your vision with somebody else, what they do is what? They laugh. See, they ain't hear the voice of God, but they laugh. The Bible said that when Sarah was at what, the front of the tent, and she was laughing. And then she comes back and said, why were you laughing? She would say, what? No, I'm laughing out of fear. No, sometimes when some people are scared, that they actually laugh when they're scared. Said that my laughter is to cover up my fear. Fear of the unknown. Why? So the fear of the unknown meaning that what? I do not trust God like I say I do. See, here's a test. And sometimes in tests, what we find out, you and I have been through these tests before. You've been down this path before. We find that what? The Bible says that what? Now that Isaac has come, Isaac is born. And now Abraham is enjoying Isaac, the son of his old age. And then God tests Abraham. And he tests Abraham by saying what? The very thing that you wanted the most. The very thing that I gave you. The very thing that I blessed you with. I want to see you give it back to me. Now, when you first read the story in the beginning, you're thinking, well, God must be an Indian giver. How cruel is that, to give the man only one son and then be telling the man to go murder his own son and form a sacrifice? Now, when you think about it, this, you know, was not absolutely 100% strange, because there were people who sacrificed children to their gods all the time. So some would say, well, Peter, why would he sacrificed? So it wasn't completely out of bounds. You got to think about the area and the context. We know the Aztecs, you know, that we have documentation that they often would sacrifice their children when they didn't rain for years on end. When certain things didn't happen, they believed that they did certain things like this, that this would please their gods. They would wake their gods up, and then what, they would do the things that they needed to do. So many children died in the form of sacrifice. What is a sacrifice, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. That a sacrifice is actually something that hurts. It costs you something. If it does not cost you anything, then it's just a gift. If it does not cost you anything, it's just a gift. But a sacrifice costs you something. Sacrifices meaning that what I typically need, I need this. This is something I have to have. Or this is something that, and what I'm saying is that I'm willing to forego what I need to believe that you're going to provide. Come on, somebody. That, Lord, I'm going to forego what I believe I need because I believe that you're going to provide. So what you're simply saying to God when I sacrifice is simply this. It's like, Lord, I understand and know that I trust you. Yes, I need this. Lord, I cannot make bricks without straw. But since I don't have the straw, I'm going to trust that you're going to provide the straw. Or you're going to provide another way. No, this is the life of a believer. This is us trusting God. This is me knowing that what? You know, I have a job, but I don't have a job because I have a job. But I have a job because God has allowed me to have this job. And he's opened up doors. And when he says it's time for me not to have that job, I won't have that job. When it's time for me to go somewhere else, I'll go somewhere else. That I'm well in my body and I'm doing as well as I am because he's allowed me to do that. As long as I'm following his will and his commandments, then what? He is what? He's obligated to provide for me. This is why it was sacrifice is what to say. This is why we tithe. The tithe is what? The tithe is not that God needs your money, but the tithe is what? To give, to say, okay, God, I need this. I don't know about you all, but I need mine. But Lord, I trust you that what you're going to provide. And what it actually becomes is becomes what? A seed. And that seed gives off what? Others. So you think about it like this, you know, when we get to, you know, the tithing part and the trust part, is that what? It's that apple. You got the whole apple tree. And God said, okay, give me five of those apples. You got 50 apples. Give me five of them. And those five apples, what he's doing is he's going to take those five apples and he's going to plant them. Now, the chances of every one of those apples coming up as an apple tree are not very great. This is why we have multiple seeds. Think about it. When a man is with a woman in their marriage and they're what, trying to conceive a child, a man ejaculates what, billions of seeds, but it only typically one gets fertilized. Are y'all with me? So what? Sometimes you sit back and you look and say, well, I did it one time, God, or I prayed one time, God, or I tithed one time, God. And you say, well, Lord, I ain't seen nothing. I ain't seen no return. I ain't seen this bountiful blessing. It's a seed. You don't even know if it came up. You don't know what kind of ground you planted in. Did you water it? Was it a good seed? Was it a seed that was given out of self-intent? Was it a seed that was given out of righteousness? Was it a seed that was given out as a true sacrifice? Was it a seed that was given out of obligation? Was it a seed given out of scarcity? All these things matter. Oh, come on, somebody. Are y'all with me? So here what? That seed that was given. So what? Abraham is what a seed that God has. And he talks about it at the end of the story. He talks about where he would take that seed of Abraham and that seed would be so multiplied. It would be so gracious. So be it. Why? Because I trusted you. That I understand that what God is looking for, somebody he can trust. And when you're trusting in him, you're resting in him. That you're going to be rescued to rest. You're going to be rescued to rest. So if you notice, rescue has the R, then you still have the reclaiming part. You have the E in rescue. That it's effort there. Then you have the S. You still, but what? There's a C there. And I'm telling you that as you move to trust, you don't need the rest. You don't have to have the Q part. You don't have to queue it up. Because see, many of us find ourselves in places that we're queuing things up. Why? Because we're trusting within ourselves. When it didn't work out the way that we worked out, what do? We try to go back and we fix it ourselves. And God said, just rest and trust. Trust in me that I have it together. Trust, I know what you needed before you knew that you needed it. I knew what you needed to have before you even thought about what you needed to have. Why? Because I seen your beginning. I seen your end. Mm-hmm. I know the plans that I have towards you, and they were to prosper you and to give you good success, he tells in Jeremiah. So here what I'm reminding you today that what we are to trust in him, that we are to what be rescued from our situation. He rescues Abraham here. He rescues Isaac by what? Trust. Because what we find here that as Isaac and his father make the journey, this is not a journey that they've been on only one time. This is why Isaac asks the question. Isaac asked the question, he said, Dad, where's the sacrifice? And he tells him what? The Lord will provide. Isaac's smart enough to know that something here is missing. There's something that we typically have with us that is not here. But we see Abraham speak in faith when he goes and he takes him and the asses and his servants. And when they get to a certain point, there's a certain point that nobody else can go except them too. I'm here to tell you today, there's a certain point in your life. There's a certain time that God is going to have you that what? Everybody can't go. And I know you desire people to go because you're loving and you're kind and you want others. You want to see everybody win. I want to see everybody win. But the truth of the matter is that everybody's not going to win. Why? Because everybody's not going to do what you're going to do. Everybody's not going to trust God the way you're going to trust him. So God has a time here that way he separates. Oh, my God. Come on, somebody. The wheat from the tare. He tells the two servants, you all stay right here. Me and the lad are going to go yonder. And when he says, me and the lad gonna go yonder, if you go back and you look at it, what does he say? He said, and we shall what? Return unto you. Therefore, Abraham is already speaking in faith to say what? Yes, we're leaving, but we're going to return unto you. We're coming back to this place. Now, at this time, Abraham didn't know exactly what God was going to do. But since he totally trusts God and he sees God outside of the box, he don't know. He knows that God, even if he has to sacrifice him, that God has the ability to give him another son. That God has the ability to what? To be able to raise Isaac maybe from the dead. Even though at this point, we have not seen it yet. But he's totally entrusted God to say, God, you know what? You gave me him and I've enjoyed him at this time, Lord. And if it's time for me to give him up, as painful as this is, and me being a father, knowing my own son, as painful as that would be, that I trust you, Lord. that I trust you know, Lord Jesus, because you've already provided for me. You've shown me where to go. You sent me to a place. Remember, this is the same Abraham that was sent to a place that told Abraham, leave from your kinfolk. Leave from the folk around you. Go where I'm going to send you. And trust me that I'm going to take care of you, that I'm going to make things right, that I'm going to make it whole. Mm-hmm. This is where we find Abraham. So what, they're going the familiar path. Some of you, I'm here to tell you today that you're going the familiar path. You're saying to yourself, Lord, I've been down this road before. Lord, they've told me that this was going to work out for me before. Lord, they lied to me before. Lord, they said this, and our faith has gotten to a point that we're weary. Because we've been told this before. We've been told that, you know, God is going to bless you. That we've been told that God is going to open up this door for you. We've been told that God is going to send you a husband. I've been told that God is going to give you this promotion. I've been told that God was going to heal my body. I've been told by many prophets that this was going to work out and this was going to change. And I'm saying to myself, when? It's not changing. It's still here. I still find myself. In fact, it looks worse. It looks worse than what I'm normally used to with seeing it being. It looks worse. It seems like there's no change. In fact, it seems like it's going backwards. When is it going to happen? And this is where we find Abraham. Abraham got tired of waiting. Abraham made it happen on his own because it didn't happen when he thought it should happen. How many of us today find ourselves of making it happen when we think it should happen? How many of us find ourselves today being little G God when big G God said, no, not now. Not that I don't want you to have it, but there is a place in time and a thing that I have set up for you so that my time will be perfect. Because what? Just me giving you what you want, there's others who want what they want. And it all has to work together. Remember, it says all things work together for the good of the Lord, for good of them who are called unto the Lord, what? According to his purpose. So if you're working in his purpose, working in purpose, then that means what? It comes together at a time. It comes together at an important time. It comes together exactly when he desires for it to come together. Because there's an appointed time, because it's going to work with something else that he's already set forth in the earth. It's going to work with something else that he's already put his hand to. It's going to work with something else that he's already set, that he got somebody else's tomorrow coming in right now. And he got somebody else's tomorrow coming in next week. And he got somebody else's thing that came in last week. And now it may be time for yours, because they all work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who's called according to his purpose. So know that what you have, what God has told you, is what is purpose driven. And you can't do it when you're ready to do it. You can't make it go when you're ready to go. You're going to make a mess of it. But do you trust? So he's rescuing you from your situation to tell you just to rest, baby. I got you. You just reflect on what you've been doing. You just continue the effort and keep still staying in this and still trust me and know that I got you. That when all hell is broke loose around you, when all turmoil is going around you, when everybody's lost their mind, when they're taking jobs, inflation's out of control and all this stuff, know that I got you. That I will provide. I'm still Jehovah Jireh. Mm-hmm. That I will make a way out of no way. Because you seem like you're going down a familiar road. And you are. But the outcome this time will be different. And you will not go this way again. So what's the difference between the test, Peter? Because I've been here before. It's not the test. It's the facilitation of the test. It's not the test. It is the facilitation of the test. Write that down. Thank you, E.T., for that. It's not what you're going through. It's about how you're going through that test. See, I'm learning that. I'm finding that. Peter, you've been through this test a couple of times now. Peter, you've been down this road more than one time. Lord, why do I keep going down this test? Because obviously I've seen the answers. You've given me the answers, and I know the answers are right. But what was my attitude in the test? How did I treat others in the test? Because I knew the answers, was I arrogant in the test? Because I already knew what to expect, was I just nonchalant in the test? Did I not give it my best effort? Did I dog it in the test? Ask yourself that today. Well, Lord, I didn't date these guys. I didn't date the guy before, and he did just like this. So then you cut him off. Lord, I've been through this part before, and I've been in it, and they got me this part in the interview, and they did this before, so I just see it again, so I already know. So now what do? You start to change who you are. Y'all tell me if I'm helping somebody, I quit. No, I'm not, because God told me to do this. But am I helping somebody this morning? You've been down that road before. You said, Peter, I've done this before. I've lifted the same weight before and the muscle is not growing. I ate the same diet before and my body didn't change. I interviewed like this before and they got me to this point and they didn't give me the job. I've dated men like him before and I got there to that point and then he still broke my heart. I dated a woman like this before and I got there and things changed. I've taken my wife here and I've done with all these things that she told me to do. And then I got there and then she still went nuts on me. I got my husband here and I did all the things and I jumped through all the hoops and he still didn't love me the way I feel like I need to be loved. Am I the only one this morning? If I am, so be it. But I know that's true. I know I'm not. Shame the devil and tell the truth. So, how are you facilitating in that test? Because sometimes the truth of the matter is some of us are right on the verge of it and we're too close to it to see it. Therefore, we almost self-sabotage ourselves. What do you mean by too close? If I got out of my seat and got in front of this camera, which I'm going to do for you, you can see me here. This camera's in focus. And then since this camera's in focus, you can see me very clearly from where I am. I got lights and all this stuff. But let me show you some when I get too close. See, when you get too close to a situation sometimes, brothers and sisters. See, I'm right here in front of this camera right now. And as I sit right here in front of this camera, this is the same camera. But you know, right now this camera's trying to refocus, but this camera, since it's not set up for somebody to be this close, it's got the wrong lens. And since it has the wrong lens, that means that I've been looking at that situation the wrong way. And since I'm looking at the situation the wrong way, all I see is blurriness. All I don't see is what the situation is before me. But God, you might have it right here in front of me, but I can't see it. Why? Because I'm so close to it that I smell it, but I can't see it. I'm so close to it that I don't even know how to deal with it. That it's so close and in my face that I can't adjust because my seeing is set for long range. That I've been set for long range of discovery. And now I'm adjusting. And if you was here and you can see this camera's going nuts. It's doing all kinds of adjustment and stuff. And to the point now it's not even moving anymore. It says, give up. Because I cannot adjust to this. So therefore, I quit. I throw in the towel. How many of you thrown in the towel because it's so close to you that you can't see it? Some of us is so close to us that we can't see it. But then when we back away from that thing, this is why God is calling you to rest. Because see, when I backed away from that thing, when I stopped trying to figure it out, when I stopped trying to do it myself, things come back into focus. See, nothing about me changed. I still had on these glasses. I still had these grays in my beard. But I got very close to that camera. And I got very close to that camera. What I saw was there before. But when I got close to the camera, it came out of focus. And some of us have losing things. Why? Because we've got out of focus because we've been going so hard for so long. We've been trying to figure it out for so long. We desired it for so long because, yes, God said he would give you the desires of your heart. He put it in our heart to desire. But God has a timing. And you know what I'm learning? We got to trust his timing. So what he's telling us to do, chill out, rest. I'm giving you a time to rest because if you don't rest, you're not going to have the energy to go forth the way I need you to go forth. You're not going to have the power. You're not going to have the strength. You're not going to have the anointing that I need you to have. You're not going to have the tenacity or the passion to go forth the way that I desire you to go forth. Why? Because you've been so close to the situation for so long that you lost focus of what it was really important. Mm. Maybe it's only me and Sister Webb out here today. She the only one talking back to me. I appreciate you, sister. I do. So sometimes it's because we're too close. And all God is telling us to rest, relax. You're too close to it. You're too close to give up now. And because I need you to rest, I need you to, because this trip is familiar to you. You've seen this before. And watch this, watch this. So in the story, you find that Isaac is what? Walking up here with his father. Now, I'm blessed that God gave me, I got a four-year-old in there today, right? He'll do whatever I ask him to do for the most part. He's a boy, he do what he do, but for the most part, he's a good kid. And I'm grateful. Now, me being older, if my dad asked me, said, Peter, lay on this grill right here, I'm going to sacrifice you. I'm probably going to be looking at Lemmy T like, you sure about that? I trust my father. I love my father. I'm grateful. I've been blessed to have a great father. Okay? But I'm going to be, Dad, are you off your marbles there? You want me to lay here and be stabbed to death by you because God told you to sacrifice me? You know, we have this place called John Murdoch upstairs, right not far from where we, my parents live. I think we need to send him there. We used to call it, you know, so it's the sign, you know, mentally challenged people go to get help. Because that's what I would probably be thinking, and we need to send him right away. But think about it. Now look at this. Here's Isaac. People think Isaac here is a little boy. Isaac is a full-grown man. Isaac can make full-grown man decisions. Isaac here is spending time with his father, but he's a very grown man. So Isaac here, I brought up that example because it ain't like my four-year-old. My four-year-old, he'll do whatever I tell him to do. Why? Because he trusts his dad. He doesn't have a mind of his own yet. He has some things that he's grown into, but he's not there yet. And y'all know what I'm saying. But me being in my 40s and my daddy being be 70 here soon, that if he came and asked me to do that, I've seen some things. I know some things. I'm like, I don't know about that, Dad. I got stuff to lose, too. I got a family I'm trying to raise. I got children I'm raising. I got a family that I got to support. I don't know about all that. But what does Abraham do? Abraham doesn't question. He says, well, okay, Dad. And he lays himself on the altar. Abraham representing himself, or laying himself here on the altar, is representative of what? Glad you asked. Write this down. Abraham is representative of your dream. The thing that you believe God has told you to do, the thing that you believe God has called you to do. And you know what? This is the interesting thing about it. The dream is mature, and this is why it's killing you not to go forward. Did y'all catch that? Isaac is your dream, and it's mature. Meaning that it's ready. It can reproduce. It can go forth. But it's about the timing of it. It's about the trust factor of it. So what is God asking Abraham to do? He's asking Abraham, hey, look, sacrifice your dream. Remember, Abraham didn't have a son. They came and brought the dream to him. See, this is the thing that gets you. You're like, I was good, God. I had my house. I had my car. See, before I started being a preacher, I was good. I didn't want this. I had to get up every Sunday morning. I get up every day. I had to pray and all this. I was good, God. I didn't need all of this. My wife and I was married. I got to go where I wanted to go. I went to vacation when I wanted to go to vacation. I ain't had to call on anybody. I ain't had to tell people I was going to be gone. I spent my money the way I wanted to spend it, and I still bless God. See, I didn't have to worry about all that. Then you brought this thing to me and said, I'm going to put this mantle on you. I need you to preach my word. Huh? I had my master's degree already. I was thinking about working towards a doctorate. We didn't have any children. My wife and I go as well we please. We did whatever we wanted to do. And we still bless God. We took care of God's people. But then, God, you put this thing on me. Mm-hmm. Think about it. Now y'all see what I'm going with this. Abraham was chilling. Him and Sarah were good. They were 100. They were chilling. Now God tells them, boy, you're going to have a son. And now they got Abraham all jacked up. So now Abraham, okay, all right, God, if I'm going to have a son. So now Abraham felt like he had to make it happen. Am I talking to anybody today? I know I'm preaching to me. So then Abraham out here trying to make it happen himself, made a mess of it. And then God allowed, put God in his grace, because God knew the heart of Abraham. You know, he still gave him what? Isaac. And then Isaac comes along, and now Isaac is good, and Abraham is enjoying Isaac. See, I feel like, you know, God gives you the thing. He gives you the dream. He gives you the vision. Now you enjoying it. Okay, all right, cool. Thank you, God. I'm happy. Woo-hoo! And I'm enjoying the thing. Then he come all of a sudden and say, oh, yeah, by the way, that's a rental. Send that back. So I got a rental car that I'm about to go out here and take it back when I'm done with you all this morning. I got to go take that back. I enjoyed that car. I think I told my wife, I said, we might need to buy one of these. But as soon as I get to the point that I'm really starting to enjoy it, I'm reminded that it belongs to somebody else. Are y'all with me? I'm dropping some dimes today. It belongs to somebody else. Remember, he said he would give you the desires of your heart. Meaning that what? That desire is not yours. He gave it to you. It didn't even belong to you anyway. And yet you didn't get all comfortable with it. Oh, yeah. Look at this, God. Oh, yeah. Whoop, whoop. Right? See, I'm driving that rental car, and I'm this thing is all right here. But it don't belong to me. So when he asked for it back, this is what he told Abraham. Send me the boy back. And Abraham like, oh my gosh. All right, God. It's yours. You're right. So now he goes up here and he gives it back. When your dream, the thing that you wait on, God told you to kill it. Your ministry, your children, your dream job, that husband that you desire, that wife you desire, those children that you desire, that family member you desire to see saved. And now it's on his deathbed. Because God told you to kill it. And watch this. He just didn't let anybody do it. He told you to do it. That's adding the insult to the injury to me. You gonna already take it, and then you're telling me to give it back. That's like the man giving the woman the ring, and then all of a sudden she said, oh, God, I want this ring, but no, I can't marry you. Here you go. That's gotta hurt. I know I'm the dude. I'm like, okay, yep. On to the next, because you won't get another chance. I told, y'all believe it, I told First Lady, I said, she would have said no. That was it. It won't be no, I was going to wait around. Yeah. I'd have been moving on. But she said, yeah, so you know, y'all need to ask her, did she make a good decision or not? But anyway, do you see what I'm saying to you on this morning? So what? He asked him to lay the vision down and kill it. So right before, now, what? And this is the thing. Some said, well, he didn't kill it. This is true. But God knew, because God saw Abraham's heart, that Abraham had already made up his mind. And he had sincerely made up in his heart that he was going to do it. And God saw that. See, you all can fool some people some of the time. You can fool people by, well, I'm going to get up in the morning, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do it. But God knows if that stuff ain't in your heart. Well, I'm going to tithe, and I'm going to. God knows if that stuff is not in your heart. Well, I'm going to go to the church. God knows if that stuff is not in your heart. You can fake it with me. People fool me all the time. Unfortunately, sometimes they do, because I just try to be, I try to give everybody the benefit of the doubt. I do. But you can't fake it with him, because he knows what's on the tables of your heart. So God already knew that what Abraham had on his heart, that Abraham really was going to kill that boy. Abraham was going to really sacrifice that boy. He was going to give it up. That you were going to really give up on that dream. You really was going to give up on that church. You really was going to give up on that ministry. That you was going to really give up on that relative. That you was going to really give up on that ability to have that kid. You were going to really give up on that ability. And God said, before you quit, I got something for you. Before you quit, he says, Abraham, I see now that you don't serve me for houses and Lamborghinis and all this other stuff. I see now you don't serve me for me being a Santa Claus to you. I see now that you don't serve me because you think you can get something good out of me. That you serve me because you truly love me. That you trust me. That you know that I have your best heart. And because of that, Abraham, not only do you get to keep the dream. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Not only do you get to keep the dream, you get the bonus prize. And what does he do? He said, look over there in the thicket. And the Bible said over there in the thicket was a ram whose horns were caught. They didn't bring that ram. They didn't purchase that ram. They didn't raise that ram. But it was a gift. In fact, the ram was caught by his horns in the thicket. The thicket, let me bring it to you like this. The thicket is what? A situation, a circumstance, a trap of one's own doing. I'm here to tell you today, you ain't got to worry about the traps that they set for you. Because they're going to be the ram that's calling the thicket. Something has to die. Make no mistake about it. There is still a sacrifice that has to be involved here. But know this, the sacrifice won't be your dream. Hey! I want to remind you today that the sacrifice will not be your dream if you trust him. If you follow through, if you do what he said do, I'm here to tell you today as a living witness, the sacrifice will not be your dream. It'll be that one who was trying to set you up. The Bible said the trap that they set for you, that they were what? Utterly fall into themselves. See, that ram was caught in that thicket by what his own doing. He was being messy. He was over there rubbing up against that tree probably. Over there headbutting that tree. He had no business doing that. And now what does he do? Now he's caught into his own situation. And now he becomes the sacrifice. Because make no mistake about it. Something has to die. But it does not have to be your dream. Do you trust him today? So don't be sorry. Don't feel sorry for the ram. The ram knows his own circumstance. The ram was building his own bridge. And now he's also made himself a sacrifice. Made himself a sacrifice. Oh, the timing is good. I'll finish right on time. Heavy word, heavy word. Notice, from rescue to rest by trust. Change the T in this, that God has you, and all he asks us to do is to trust him. When we're resting, what do? We're trusting in him. We are reflecting, we're reclaiming, we are energizing, we're in effort, we're in strength, we're standing still, but we're what? But most of all, we're trusting in him. Church, will you rest? Will you rest in him? That's all God has given me for this series to bless you all with. And I hope that this series has been a tremendous, tremendous blessing to you. Go get it on the podcast. It's available. It's available 100% for free. Go out there and just look at our podcast and download it for free. Go to our website, go get it for free. Let it bless you this month that you can live in and walk in rest and know that what? God got it. Your dream is not going to die, but you got to trust him. And trust his timing and his will that it's going to work out. Because what did we find Isaac to be? Isaac begot Jacob. And then Jacob what? Ismael. Jacob becomes Israel. Then Israel does what? The children of Israel. And the children of Israel becomes what? Those 12 tribes. And those 12 tribes go over and they take over Egypt. Mm-hmm. And then they get kicked out of Egypt. Then Moses takes them through the Exodus. And then they go to the promised land of Canaan and the land of milk and honey. And it just keeps going on and on. And then we got the tribe of Judah. And the tribe of Judah begots David. And David, is the son of Jesse. And David, they said the lineage of Jesus Christ is going to come through the tribe of Judah, which is now we found 42 generations from David to Jesus Christ, now the coming of Jesus Christ, who's the ultimate sacrifice for sin, who's the ultimate lamb who was slain from the foundations of the world so that you and I might have the tree of life. All that happened from Abraham, the father of the faith. Even Islam says Abraham is the father of the faith. So what say you? And we know they don't believe, right? They'll try to tell you that, but they believe the same we believe. I don't know. They don't. But But they even acknowledge him. What about you? Will you walk in rest today? God bless you all. I love you all. I hope this has been a tremendous blessing to you all this week. Remember that we have prayer each